Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for J. Will. Today, J. Will and
is the, Kwame,
a proud daddy for the third time this past weekend. Congratulations, Jay. We are joined right now, gentlemen, and we're presented by Progressive Insurance. We are joined right now on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app by Julian Love, New York Giants defensive back. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Julian Love, Notre Dame non-fighting Irish defensive back, ex-defensive back.
You know, it's funny because I just looked it up. I was just wondering. So Julian Love's listed at 5'11", 195. That's basically my size, but he plays defensive back in the NFL.
Not about the size of the dog. No. It's about the fight of the dog,
and
right,
on
Julian?
On top of that, Max, when I look at Julian's body and I look at yours, yeah, it's not the same.
It's not the same thing? No. I thought it was exactly the same. Are you sure?
100%.
Right. Okay. Well,
free throw, Max.
Jeans alone.
The jeans alone, Jay. Key saw me getting ready to shoot a free throw, which is hilarious, and he says, you know, I think he's going to hit it, Jay, and then he looked at me and goes, nah, man, the jeans alone. Jeans alone told you what you needed to know. Julian, what was
that
the big,
has to hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. It was not good. What was the biggest key in shutting down the Packers offense in the second half in that comeback win in London last week? And let me, before you even answer that, thank you very much. I'm a diehard Giants fan, and I've been dying hard the last 10 years. Boy, that was as good as I felt in a long time. What was the key?
Yeah, honestly, it was everyone just at halftime having composure. What was in front of us the second half? He was picking apart some of our zone looks. And so we switched to, you know, tighter coverage. And it was working. And
Julian, we're having a little problem with the cell phone reception, or the phone reception at any rate. We're going to put you on hold for a second, Julian, and get that straightened out and then bring you right back on.
Yeah, if he maybe find a hard line for some, that may
people
work
don't
out.
Have him anymore.
Well,
you know?
He can't be in the NFL with no Metro PCS now.
No, he probably no. I would think he's at the facility. What's today? Wednesday. I would think he's probably at the facility right about now, so he probably could
find
a hard line. Yeah, get a hard line.
You have a hard line in your house?
No,
I don't either.
I need one though because my cell sometimes don't work. But I unplugged all the phones because the phone will be ringing crazy times at night times.
Well, I have it because of the alarm system, but right. I don't even know the number.
Yeah, I don't have it plugged in.
If you
in
ask
anymore.
Me what's the phone number at home, I'm like,
I don't know. I don't have a hard line at all.
I don't think the phone's ever rung, to be honest with you.
See, mine had, that's how I had to unplug them. Every last one of them.
Yeah, you get.
I had it in the kitchen and the basement.
Oh, it's the worst.
Both.
Yeah, see, we got in a house because of the alarm.
Yeah.
For the alarm system, yeah.
You ever have an elevator in like a townhouse or something, Key? And you have to keep a phone in an elevator?
I'm not answering that, man. I'm not going to answer that.
I'm out of that conversation.
So,
damn, I don't have an elevator in my home.
All I can tell you is you're required to have a phone in the elevator, sometimes it rings.
I plead the fifth.
Sometimes it rings. Yeah.
Don't want people knowing.
Actually, the first elevator ever installed in a private house was for Keyshawn Johnson in the late 90s. He invented it.
I got a nice tax bracket, like, but I ain't in now. I don't know if I'm in that bracket, Key.
All right.
Yeah, well, I think Max is just talking about his house that he had next to Elon Musk.
Yeah, oh, I did. I certainly did. We shared a fence. Oh, I was living the high life in L.A., boy. It was good times.
Oh, seriously? Are you joking?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
I was there first, though.
Dead ass serious.
Yeah.
Have you seen Max's penthouse?
No, I don't have
a
penthouse.
Oh, my God.
No, stop lying.
The bedroom is the size of our studio.
See, I shouldn't even be sleeping my 3 or 4 hours. I need to stay up 24 hours.
But the thing about the Giants, though, in all seriousness, the defense has played well the last 5 weeks of the season so far. They've done a good job, and they've been coached up. They got two quality coaches, an offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll, and then Wink on the defensive side of the ball.
Julian Love, New York Giants defensive back, is back with us. Julian, what's that? Key's just bringing up the coaching staff. You guys have been written off, and I didn't think you were going to do anything this year, but you're playing with so much character. And so what is it like playing for that coaching staff?
Yeah, it's been fun. You know, I was saying that at halftime, everybody was very composed. I think that's something that kind of stands out to me. You know, we're down, obviously. We're not playing that well in the first half defensively. And Wink Martindale was just super composed at half and just making corrections that we need to make. And so, yeah, Aaron Rodgers picking apart his own a little bit. And so we switched to tighter coverage and just, you know, and limited his possessions in the second half. And it worked.
What's it like? First of all, Julian, you don't probably know this, and Max doesn't, and I know Harry doesn't for sure, but you were playing with my godson on the defensive side of the ball in the secondary by way, just so that you know. So when you see Darnay this morning, pop him upside the head for
me. Oh, my gosh. How do you feel about that video circulating of him?
Yeah, I know. I told him, you don't pull down your pants on the sideline, man. You have two guys, stand one in the front, one behind you.
Oh, that's
with
your
towels.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't have to be doing that like
figures.
That.
Figures. Oh, God, figures.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Will you stop?
Unbelievable.
So what's it been like playing for Brian Daboll, though? I mean, we talked about the coaching staff, but him in particular, coming over from the Buffalo Bills, what's it been like playing for him as a head coach?
Yeah, it's been good so far. Obviously, you know, we've been winning. But on top of that, when I first met him back in the spring, you know, he could care less about, you know, what you've done before. All he cared about was what you brought to the table now. And if you brought juice and brought a good attitude to the table. And so he's been great. He's been loose. He's been very receptive to how players have been feeling, which I think is important. You know, you want to run a good team, and it starts with your players. And so he's been very open and honest about, you know, with us and engaging with us. And, you know, the communication has been super transparent, which has been way different than I've experienced in previous years.
How easy is it to have a head coach that you can go to about anything? You know, you win a game, he's in the locker room dancing. Culture change, that's what we call it, man. How easy is it to play for a guy in that fashion?
It's so easy. You know, sometimes you gotta reel it back because he's quick to crack a joke before he is to coach you up on something, typically. And so you got to, you know, be wary of that and understand that, you know, he's not just, you know, like one of your boys, a friend. He's your head coach. And so he kind of navigates that line pretty well, I think. He's demanding, but also he's encouraging, which I think is that's the sweet spot for a good coach in any sport.
Julian Love, New York Giants defensive back, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and, of course, Max. Can't forget about Max. So, Julian, now that the Giants have turned the corner a little bit and you've had, you know, you've been here, you've been through somewhat of the losing culture with this team, how are you being treated now in New York City? Because I've been on a 1-15 team with the New York Jets in New York and not very good, but then we start winning – everything, the floodgates opened up and everybody loved us and we were the greatest thing ever. How has that changed for the New York Giants and yourself?
Oh, I mean, this city doesn't hold back for sure, especially when you're losing, as you know. And so it's been great. It's been good to drive, you know, leave your house or whatever on Monday. And you see a lot of people on the streets just walking wearing their Giants gear. There's something of a pride about that. You're excited to see the community getting involved and really supporting and cheering you on, you know, and you get invited to, you know, other New York sports games, and you know, it's a fun time when you're winning, and yeah, it's not the best when you're losing, so yeah, enjoy
Julian,
this feeling.
Julian Love, safety on the 4-1 New York Football Giants, here on Keyshawn, J. Willimax, Harry Douglas in for Jay today, ESPN Radio. Julian, a lot of people, and I'm in that group, saw Daboll go for the two-point conversion with Saquon, and it worked. And at that moment, it felt like – and people just assumed, boy, the team is going to respond to that. Take us behind the curtain a little bit here. Was that meaningful, or was that overblown by the media? But or did it do something for you?
No, I think it was meaningful. I think – first of all, you know, Daboll, before he made a choice, he asked the players what we wanted to do. He asked the captains, you know, basically, we're going to go for two. Like, do you support it? Like, what do you think? And all of us are like, yeah, go for it. Let's be aggressive. We're not playing on our heels anymore. And obviously it worked. And, you know, in previous years, it's my fourth year on the team. In those situations, things just seem to not be going our way in recent years. We can't get over like that hump or win those, you know, those one play battles. At times, and so the hat, I think, reinvigorated everybody to be like, all right, this is different. You know, we have something going, and we got to build off of this.
Julian, your star running back Saquon Barkley, he's been phenomenal. A lot of the reasons why you guys have had success is because of the way he's performing offensively, especially coming off an injury. or two injuries the last 2 years. What has he meant to this team, and how great of a leader has he been for all of you guys?
Oh, he's meant a lot. You know, Saquon's probably the most competitive guy in the locker room in anything, whether it's ping pong, golf, just random stuff. That dude's just super competitive. And so to see him shining in the way he is, it's special. And it's all about his work and his process. You know, these past few years, that's tough on anybody mentally. And so he's had the wherewithal to push through that and power through. And so, yeah, for us to be successful, our good players have to play well. That's what we've been saying. And so that's, you know, our leader, our captain, playing well.
You know, Julian, Daniel Jones hasn't been the toast of the town. In fact, they didn't even pick up his fifth-year option, and many speculated that this would be his last year in a New York Giants uniform. What are your thoughts on the way Daniel has played this year for the G-Man?
Yeah, so, you know, Daniel and I were in the same draft class, and it's been fun to see him, you know, progress over the years. Like, right now he's doing such a good job of taking care of the ball, managing a game, and just putting us in a position to succeed. You know, when we need a drive out of them, we need points out of them, they've been getting drives and getting points. And that's all him. I mean, he's the first one in the building. He's the last one to leave. And like no, that's not that's literally he's in the first. He's the first one to get here, last one to leave. And so the work's been there for him. He's a hard worker. And so as a friend, as you know, as a teammate, you want to see him succeed, and we're happy that he's succeeding right now.
So Keyshawn played in the NFL for a long time. I played for 10 years, and we know how sometimes the locker room, you know, you have to let go some things and joke around and have fun and be guys, be boys, be brothers. Who was the funniest person on y'all's team? And can you give us a little story about something they've done funny or said?
All right, I'll say two. Adoree Jackson, our corner. I think he's one of the funniest guys on the team. And he gets everybody laughing. Man's a funny dude. And then Sterling Shepard, you know, through everything, he's our most tenured guy on the team. That dude brings the juice every single day, no matter what. And right now, obviously, he got injured, unfortunately. But he's still in the locker room, you know, controlling the music, getting everybody hype, bringing the juice. And so he's been somebody that we've needed. And, I mean, he just brings a lighthearted but also kind of a tenacity to how we go about things each day.
Julian Love, New York Giants safety. You're on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas in for Jay today on ESPN Radio. Before we let you go, the Giants, I don't know what it was internally, but externally, there were not a lot of expectations for this team. This year was about, you know, new coaching staff, new regime, figuring it out, what's Daniel Jones, all this kind of stuff. But now you're 4-1. Same record as the Cowboys. Even though you lost that game, it was competitive till the end. Eagles are the only undefeated team in football. What are the expectations in that locker room now when most people would have you third in the NFC East in terms of what, you know, ranking the teams? What are your guys' expectations at this point for a 4-1 team?
Yeah, you know, it's tough when you have success early to not look ahead, to not look at, you know, kind of what's out there. Our first goal, our priority every year, no matter where we are, is to win the division. And so this year, obviously, we have some good teams right now. You know, the Cowboys are playing well. The Eagles are undefeated. They're playing well. And so that's our first priority. Obviously, we have games ahead of us. We have a good Ravens team coming in this weekend. But our eyes are always kind of on the division, seeing how they're managing. And we won the first quarter of the season, which is a good thing. And now we got to maintain win the second quarter. And then, you know, that's when playoff football is talked about, in that third and fourth quarter of the season, those last, you know, eight games is when it really gets nitty gritty. So it's a process. We're just focused on this one game, but, you know, it's in the back of our mind for sure.
I mean, pitch perfect, right, Key?
Yeah, a little bit. I would, a little bit. I can work with him a little bit.
You can work with Julian?
Yeah, I can work with
Julian, Key's good. I think Key should open a consulting firm in terms of how to talk to the media. I think that was pitch perfect what Julian just said.
Yeah, it was, but our first goal is to make sure that, you know, it's one game at a time. You know, obviously some tough teams in this division, in Philadelphia and Dallas. And, you know, we're a young football team with a young head coach, and we feel good about where we're at. But, you know, we're just concentrating on the Ravens right now, and that's really what it is. And look, if you want to forecast the future, I don't know the future, and I'm worried about Sunday.
But Julian, what you gave us, even though the key, that's textbook, right? But what you gave us had the feel of something a little more spontaneous and and honest, right? Even though
that's
you basically gave him the same message that Key just gave.
Yeah, but I don't want to be honest. I want to fool you.
But he did the same.
Yeah, but I got to get him to fool you, though.
But I'm saying he sounded like he was saying something. But he said basically what you said, but you see what I'm saying?
No, I do.
Yeah, yeah. Do. Julian, that's pretty
You got to draw him in. You got to draw him in. That's the key.
About. Julian Love, this is a guy who knows what he's doing.
Except he went to Notre Dame. He's fine. I like him, though.
Great to have high-character guys on the team. It's a high-character team so far this season. You could see that. Continued success. And you better keep winning. That's all I have to tell you, or I'll turn
Continue
on you in
success.
One second. All right, good. Thank you, Julian.
All right, Jay.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Julian Love of my beloved New York Football Giants. I'm
not
kidding.
I'll
turn on that whole team in one second.
I meant to ask
him
how
one
difficult
second.
Was it to go from corner to safety in the league? Because he played corner at Notre Dame, and now he's playing safety. How difficult that is at a young age. Usually you see that, Harry, when they are already done.
Yep.
You know, even 10 years at corner, then they move to safety.
Yeah, but why wait if you have a little extra for the safety position?
Oh,
do
know.
It while
no,
you got
I,
the juice.
No, I understand it. I just wanted to know how difficult it would have
Another
been.
Another guy, Dory Jackson. So I played with him in Tennessee. You know, he played offensive snaps for us in Tennessee as well.
But he did that at SC.
Yes, I'm saying. He was a dynamic guy, returner, fast, did some offensive stuff, played corner. We drafted him in the first round.
Yeah, but do you know who coached him?
No. Oh, you coached him?
He played on my 7-on-17.
Everyone played on your 7-on-7. Not the whole world can play on one 7-on-17.
Anybody, put it this way.
But they're paying people before it was legal.
Jim Brown, he played on my 7-on-17.
We got to investigate you, Key.
You know who. But you know I ain't lying. You know who brought him from St. Louis to L.A.? We did, because he originally from St. Louis. We brought him because of family members. We brought him to L.A., and he went to high school out there and everything, and
good guy.
Like, everybody plays.
Everybody.
But you know the problem? Is in L.A., the 7-on-7 circuit, right? And if you in L.A., at the time, my 7-on-7, everybody wanted to play for my team because we traveled
it's
the world.
It's like, you remember the six degrees
I want to play for you because you Keyshawn Johnson, too, though.
Yeah,
no,
but
I'm just saying,
fun.
Though.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I know
that
I'm going to get the exposure
the attraction.
That I need.
Man, I had DeAnthony Thomas, Shaq Thompson. You know, Shaq Thompson plays for Carolina.
Of course, yeah.
Josh Rosen. Bryce Triggs, my nephew, Michael Thomas. I can go with Darnay Holmes.
Have you ever
DeAndre
heard of
Jackson.
6 degrees of separation?
It right. always happens.
So, like
so there
smart
was
by those
there was a game.
Smart by
there was a game people came up with called six,
Michael Pittman
6 degrees
Jr.
of Kevin Bacon because he was an actor who played in a lot of ensemble casts. You could connect any actors through Kevin Bacon. That's like key. It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or separation or whatever. Everyone who ever played Key's on somehow attached to a 7-on-7 team.
If you're from L.A., you're going to be on my 7-on-7 team.
I just think it's smart, though. Like, why wouldn't I want to go with somebody who's
Johnny Unitas. He's on my 7-on-7 team.
When Key was playing with you and Johnny.
Michael Pittman Jr.
Look at this.
Michael Pittman Jr.
He got some people in the NBA playing on his 7-on-7
team. John Wall. No.
George Gervin. The Iceman. Oh, he was playing on my 7. Key, the years don't even match up.
I think it's dope, though, Key. And you did a great thing, man, invested into those kids.
It was fun, too,
That's
though.
What I'm saying. Like, you had fun doing it and investing in them, and they understood where to go to get the exposure that they needed.
Mm-hmm. Coaches, to get 7-on-7.
And getting coached up.
Coaching on 7-on-7 and putting that team together and cutting. Man, our very first tryout, we had 600 kids for 22 spots try out. Now, I'm like college coaches and pros. I already know who's going to make it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I need to take a look at a couple other dudes. But I already knew who was going to make it. I'm like,
how did you cut them? Do you have the whole speech
no,
down?
No, I had a whole – I had a little staff, a staff of about 10 people. Ex-NFL guys, Chris Claymore and Brian Kelly and company, Antonio Pierce.
See what I mean? And he's connecting the whole university sports.
We had it right, man. We was beating the brakes off people until we ran into Teddy Bridgewater and Shazier.
Hey, what Teddy did after he scored that touchdown?
He ran a dig on DeAnthony and said, turn up the speed, baby.
He got
it's different down south.
He got dudes in different
they
sports.
They was good.
I mean, it's like Fernando Valenzuela was on my 7th. What's going on? Marvin Hagler. Come on, man. Everybody's on a 7-on coaching staff, the whole thing.
Look, man.
Ronald Reagan was on my side. What? It's not even an athlete.
He's not fast
squad,
enough. Squad, though, man.
Ronald Reagan not fast enough.
We had the squad. We had the squad. Sounds That's all like I can it. Tell you. We bombs away. That's what we was doing.
You would have been
right, though. And, you know, you're getting coached up.
That's what I'm saying.
In 707, the skill position
players. Which is the most important thing, though, man, that these kids are getting coached up the proper way, because there's so many people out here not teaching the right way, Key.
Yeah, no, we coached them up. They knew when I was coming. They used to be like, man, here come Coach Key, because they already knew.
Yep.
We would work the you-know-what out of them. And that's just, it was fun.
Who's the biggest coaching influence on your coaching style? Parcells?
I would say... Yeah, Bill and Coach Robinson, John. Bill.
I thought you'd say Kotite, not Rich Kotite.
Stop. All my coaches, though, you take a little bit of something from them.
Yep, right.
And you use a little bit of everything. You know, I took my nephew out of a game one time because he just wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And everybody assumed he's my nephew. I'm going to give him the leeway. Man, I tore into his ass. And he just, you know, but it worked. Later on, because then he can go play for Urban Meyer, you know, which is a tough coach. Then he can go play for Sean Payton, which is a tough coach, because he was already conditioned in his mind that if I'm getting yelled at and screamed at, I'm going to be okay.
Slapbox your little brother, beat the hell out of him just so he can take care of himself.
Yeah, squad. Yeah. We done came down to Louisville at Georgia and just... Whew!
Say what?
We done came down to Georgia.
And did what?
Went just amok on them.
You got your damn mind.
No, we actually did. We beat some team in Georgia, and we played them in Alabama.
Some team.
Yeah, I don't know who 7-0 it was, but we fried ice cream. Just tell me.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive
Josh
Insurance.
Rosen used to be.
Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. Was the ball where it was supposed to be, Key?
It looked right.
If you ran your route, would Josh Rosen get you the ball right where you were supposed to be?
In high school? Yeah. When he was a sophomore? It looked right.
He wasn't running all around. And,
no, you knew. Oh, okay. You knew exactly who was going to the pros.
Things have changed.
For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Two of the best college basketball head coaches will join us to discuss NIL and how conference realignment has changed the landscape of college athletics.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Right now, it's Patrick Mahomes, but his motivation wasn't about individually. I think as a team, the motivation was getting back.
Mahomes fires Kelce out of the middle, inside the 10, 5, linked to the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City!
Generational talent in Pat Mahomes, but they got a head coach that knows exactly how to use his strengths.
Harry, I just missed a shot by so much on the garbage can. It wasn't good. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app. Harry Douglas in for Jay today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So, guys, Dominique Foxworth believes the Raiders game showed the Chiefs really missed Tyreek Hill. Here's what he said yesterday on Greeny here on ESPN Radio.
What I noticed was Tyreek Hill really mattered. And I know it sounds stupid and obvious now, but there was so much of this game where the Raiders weren't doing anything special. They were just playing man coverage. And when the Chiefs could protect that really impressive Raiders pass rush, which they did a pretty good job of keeping them off of Mahomes, you would see guys running routes and they'd catch the ball sometimes, but they weren't open. Patrick was throwing great passes and sometimes it bounced off their hands. So like that one-on-one receiver that you know you can go to, or a guy who's so good that it requires a double team and that opens up other things for other people, they don't have that. And Travis Kelce, as good as he is, he had 4 touchdowns, but he had like 25 yards. You need somebody who is going to break the defense in man coverage, and they don't have it.
No, 4 touchdowns seemed like that was a broke defense to me.
I don't care if he had 4 yards on 4 touchdowns. Touchdowns.
Seems pretty broke to me that you can't figure out how to cover the main target in the passing game. Look, he had 29 yards against the Raiders. Doesn't mean he's going to have 29 yards this week or next week.
No. He had 25.
Oh, 25. 25 yards. Okay.
Give me those 4 TDs, man.
In 4 touchdowns. So if he had 25 yards in 4 touchdowns, I'll take that all day long. I don't need 150 yards. The only people need 150 yards are guys that's betting on the parlays and over-unders and all that other stuff.
Present.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't agree with Dom. I've seen on multiple occasions where the Raiders were playing man coverage, and that clip that they just showed, if you're watching ESPNU, was a play that was actually man coverage with Valdez Scantling. He got away. You know, Patrick Mahomes scrambled to the right, and he found him for a first down. So there's times where you see these guys, they're beating one-on-one coverage. I thought Mecole Hardman stepped up, had over 70 yards. MVS, he had over 90 yards. You had Travis Kelce catching 4 touchdowns. I don't need the guy to go out here and, like you said, Key, 100 yards this guy, 100 yards that guy. I need a guy on third down. Can he get open? Can he win this matchup? That's what they started doing after they went 0-3 in that game, and they finished 7-4, I think 7-4-11 or 7-12 on third downs. If I got a guy named Patrick Mahomes, right, I don't need him to be wide open. I just need him to catch the football when it comes to him.
But if you're looking at the game, the fear of Tyreek Hill isn't on the field. That's okay, though.
Yes.
Because at some point, MVS will become the fear if they hit it over the top a couple times on a deep crosser, 30-yard chunks, things of that nature. And if you go and you look at, and you could do it, Max, while I'm talking, you look at Tyreek Hill's stat line, statistical stat line when he was at the Kansas City Chiefs. He wasn't 150, 150, 150, 150, 150, 150, 150. You know, Tyreek Hill will give you a 60-yard game here and there. He'll give you a 70-yard game. He'll give you a 90-yard. But then he might give you 170, and then it's back to 50. And at the end of the day, when you add all of that up, he becomes a 1,300-yard receiver. So I think they're doing it different now, because what he's doing is he's deciding to get the football to multiple people in different situations. He's not relying on only Kelce, only Tyreek Hill. So it makes Patrick Mahomes a much better quarterback for the future.
And I think MVS, with his speed, right, I think he can be a guy, once they start hitting him over the top, that's going to get open underneath even that much more and that much better, because of teams are going to be threatened by his speed.
And the thing that they're missing, that they are missing, is 0-60. And what I mean by that, if Tyreek could take a shallow cross of the house, turn the corner, put up the deuces. But he's not doing that every single game, every single game. It hits you once in a while, and that's what they've been missing in their offense. But it does not make their offense stale. They're still winning games. He's still putting up statistical numbers, and he's still the MVP favorite.
I mentioned this earlier in the show. This year, the test for me is going to be in high-leverage moments in the playoffs when nothing's available and Tyreek was your safety valve, really.
Yeah.
So can Mahomes still get it done? Because remember, he's never not made the AFC Championship game as a starter.
Yeah.
So can he get it done even with Tyreek isn't there? And understand, with the Bills the way they're looking, you know, it could be that this is the year that he doesn't make it, and even Tyreek Hill wouldn't have made a difference. We'll find out. But I think in the long run, not having Tyreek Hill will make Patrick Mahomes an even greater quarterback, because and the analogy I used earlier in the show is Roy Jones Jr., the fighter. In his prime, he was so much better than everybody. It was crazy. Like even Floyd Mayweather. Floyd was in his prime back then. No one ever looked at those two and were like, I wonder if Floyd's best pound for pound. Roy was lapping the field. But he was so athletic and great, he never really had to rely on technique the way other people did. Yeah. He didn't age as well as someone like Floyd or Bernard Hopkins or someone who had to rely more on technique than Roy, right? Patrick Mahomes, like Roy Jones Jr., he's just better than everybody. He's more gifted than everybody. His ability to do everything and off-platform, and it's crazy. But now, without that, this guy will just get me out of a jam, now he's going to have to also take his game to the next level technically. This is going to be good for him in the long run, I think.
And I think he will. This is new for Eric Bieniemy as the offensive play caller, designer, along with Andy Reid as the plays. Now we don't have just two guys. We got four or five guys that we want to get the football to. And Juju will come along as time goes on and get used to Patrick Mahomes. He'll get used to his body language. He'll understand where he's supposed to be. Patrick Mahomes will understand where he's trying to go. It'll just be different. And I think what everybody's looking at is the exit of Tyreek Hill all of a sudden is going to make Patrick Mahomes look different because they lost to the Indianapolis Colts. They lost games last year, and Tyreek Hill was on the damn team, but they still went to the AFC Championship game.
Well, I think you look at the game this weekend versus the Bills, I think that's another moment, Max. I don't think you have to wait till you get to the playoffs. You can use key games throughout this season, and I'm trying to look at them right now. You have the Buffalo Bills, who has a phenomenal defense. You have the San Francisco 49ers, who they play after that. A phenomenal defense, and you have the Tennessee Titans, who has a outstanding front seven, right? When you look at those three games, you can kind of measure, okay, how can my guys, get open in crucial moments if they arise within a football game? So I think you can kind of use that as a measuring stick. And also, when you get to playoff time, let me go to the drawing board and see, okay, when we played against this team and this moment came up, we were able to do this guy. This guy showed up. You can use those things as a stepping stone to building towards the playoffs.
Well, at least they got the Bills at home.
By the way, for Mahomes' career, it's big because there's such an Josh Allen has this huge arm. We've seen him develop year over year. He's on a great team. Everyone seems in a rush to push him past Patrick Mahomes, right? And he's playing just about as well as Mahomes right now. Like, that's the debate between those two. If Josh Allen gets by Patrick Mahomes, but if Mahomes beats the challenge again, this time without Tyreek Hill, it elevates him. Key, with people like me who will be telling the story, even if people like you are like bristle at it, like, oh, that's not what it is because you know better. But still, the history is, there's too much of it. So people create narratives to explain what happened.
I understand.
And if he doesn't get bagged by Josh Allen and Tyreek Hill's not there, those dots may be connected. But if he does and Tyreek Hill's not there, that elevates Patrick Mahomes to a new level.
You know what worries me, though, that a lot of people don't talk about? Steek Spagnuolo and playing this man coverage, because it almost hurt them in that game versus the Raiders. You got to understand, man, every time you can't be going out there lining up, blitzing, and playing man coverage and putting corners
that got,
on the island.
That's what got them last year in the playoffs against the Bills.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't be doing that.
Even though they won the game.
You have to alter some things.
It put them in a bad situation last year against the Bills. Like, Spags, come on, man. Come up with something else.
That's what worries me more than anything, is them trying to play man coverage. And I can't wait to see this game versus the Bills, because I want to see how they're going to play it with Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm.
Before we get going, one of the things that Josh Allen has to do, he has to beat Patrick Mahomes, he has to go to the Super Bowl, he has to win an MVP for it to even be connected.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of things to me.
Yeah, but Key, for you, for me, for some others, but there seems to be this feeling based on the eyeball test, based on the motive, that there's almost a desire to have Josh Allen there already. And so he's probably going to have to do less than Mahomes has had to do so far in his career to get. He's already put there neck and neck with Mahomes.
Mahomes
is much more accomplished.
Though. Mahomes is his dark cloud. The AFC Championship game, Mahomes beat him last year. Division around, Mahomes beat him. So right now, Mahomes is a dark cloud hanging over Josh Allen's head.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max will be in Chicago for Bears Commanders. We need deep dish pizza spots, of course. That shows you how local we are.
Extra
deep
cheese, dish please. Pizza.
What do we expect from Justin Fields?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, guys, the Warriors have fined but not suspended Draymond Green. He will play Friday. Here's the quote from Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors. Quote, "This is the biggest crisis that we've had since I've been coach here. It's really serious stuff. We are not perfect, but we're going to learn on the experience that we have had, that we have together, and trust that this is the best decision for our team. We have a lot of work to do, all of us," end quote. Should Draymond have been suspended, guys? And do you think the Warriors really have already moved on? Anyone?
I'm not moving on as a player, you mean? Like as a teammate? If I'm Poole, though, I'm not. He got to go. I like Draymond. Me personally, Keyshawn does. But if he'd have put his hands on me, we couldn't be in the same locker room on the same team playing on the bus. I'm just not going to ignore the fact that you just socked me in my face.
Yeah, Harry, he hit him with RG3 identified it. He's right. I trained in Krav Maga for about 4 years when I was in L.A. three times a week. That's called a Superman punch. Yeah. You push off. What you do is you see how he flew off the one foot.
Superman punch.
It's not a correct like boxing punch, right? The point of what he did is to close the distance quickly on someone and connect with a haymaker. And
not gonna happen, man.
For people who are like, well,
I hate this happened though.
Jordan Poole should have been ready for it.
But
people who are like Jordan Poole should have been ready for it. You're not expecting your teammate just off a shove
to sock you in your face. Yeah, I don't think it wasn't good for basketball. It wasn't good for that team, especially a team coming off a NBA championship. And a lot of people are expecting y'all to be right there again. Also, I do agree with you though, Key. I don't know. And I'm not saying Jordan Poole doesn't, but he has to feel some type of way every day.
Dougie.
Like you know what I'm saying? Like,
you will not be in a locker room with me, man. That's
what I'm saying,
not
though.
Happening.
Like,
Like,
I hit a three, a game winner. I'm going to go high five Draymond after I know he didn't sucker punch me in my face.
We're not even going to get to the point where no, man, one of us have got to go.
What if Jordan Poole snuck him? What if he snuck him one and now they're even?
Well, then that's a different scrap.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're saying we scrapping, that's something different.
Yeah.
But Max, you're not going to walk up on me and fire on me, and then it's cool, we're going to sit down at the dinner table together.
Right.
Like, I do got to say this. I mean, Jordan Poole, somebody coming towards you got to put your hands up too, though.
Like, I agree, but he's playing
but,
it.
Natural reactions, though. Like, you got to.
But he's playing it cool. Like, come on, you ain't going to do nothing because you're not expecting your teammate. By the way, you're a little guard. He's a power forward. You're not expecting him to haul off and hit you with a haymaker.
I get upset at stuff like this because I'm telling you right now, they're going to have to separate us. Every time I see him, it's on the rip. I'm serious.
He should have put his
hands up. Every single time I see Draymond Green, if I'm Jordan Poole, it's on and popping.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pimps like 82, me and you like Tony Tone.
Oh, God. This is some Atlanta music.
East Point and you know me.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. What zone is this?
It's Southwest. I don't even know.
So
I don't
what
know
zone?
I don't know.
One through
like
six,
that,
right? Like what zone is it?
So it's not too far. No lie though, my auntie's ex husband, Doug Pittman. I actually spent a tiny bit of time with him. He used to be in the music game at a studio in his house. So
he sang in the studio, right? Yeah. You laid down a few tracks in there.
I'm not no rapper. I could sing though.
Yeah, did you say? I'm saying they need a singer on a track.
See, Harry Douglas is behind times. He's supposed to say no cap. You didn't even say it right. You like, oh no, no cap.
Man, I ain't with that. That
has something to do with NFTs, right, Key? I'm pretty sure.
But Harry tried to crack on me earlier, talking about I'm old. Yeah. You know, he played with Tony Gonzalez in Lawyer Malloy.
But they were still playing, Key. You stopped in 2007. They were still playing then.
That's why I said it's not like you didn't play during my era. They played during my era, too.
Okay, Key.
He had Roberto Clemente on his 7-on-17. What's he talking about?
I'm sorry, Key. I called you old. I didn't mean it. But I did mean
old.
It. No, I'm not.
You played with Lawyer Malloy.
I came in 2008, Key.
Lawyer came in 96 with me.
He was on the back end of his
career. I think Tony came in 97 or 98.
Key, who's the oldest player? Like the player that make you go, damn, your career overlapped with him, even just touched it, right? Like who was a contemporary of yours that was old when you were in the league that we'd
like
be like.
Frank Wright.
Frank Wright was the old guy back then?
Frank Wright was the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills when they were down by like 35 points in the playoffs or something. He brought them all the way back and won.
Who was in the league? What year you get to the league?
96.
96, right. Who was in the league in
96? I mean, in 94, 95, I was going to Freaknik in Atlanta. You got to the damn lead in 96. The summer, the Olympics
no,
in Atlanta.
Wait, old heads was like Pepper Johnson.
Pepper Johnson.
He played with like Lawrence Taylor. But no, Frank Wright was like an old head. Who else? Jumbo Elliott was still kind of young, but he was older. He had been in the Super Bowl.
So those guys got to the league in like the mid-80s probably.
No, like Pepper Johnson, Carl Banks.
Seriously.
I played like Carl Banks type dudes.
I don't remember when Carl Banks got to the Giants. But I remember watching like Carl Banks for the Giants.
He had always been there.
You
know what else?
And I'm 49.
Keith Byard.
No, but you should have been like the age you was cool with Tupac.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's okay.
There's nothing wrong.
He was young then. Tupac was young.
He was in the Furious Five. What are you talking about? He was with Grandmaster Flash in the Furious Five on a recruiting trip.
No, he tried to act like he didn't play with some old dinosaur dudes. Like he just young. I'm like, no, dude, you played with Tony Gonzalez and Lawyer Dan Malloy. They came out with me basically, so it was your era. Like, stop.
Key was one of the original members of the Treacherous Three, man,
like,
with Kumo D.
Our kicker, and James remember this, what was the kicker that we had that played for the Kansas City Chiefs and played with me, longtime kicker for the Chiefs, played with me in New York for the Jets. Oh, God. Come on, James. Still, longtime kicker.
I played with Jason Elam, too. Kicker.
No, but this kicker was Nick Lowry. Oh, man, Nick thought he had the police mustache. And Nick was like 70 kicking back then in 96. He was already like 45 years old. So we was young.
When
was
you talk
like
about, he might have come in the league in like 82, right? Like that's, you're talking about 40 years.
Marcus Allen had just retired. Ronnie Lott had just retired. I played against Bruce Matthews. Like, seriously.
That's how I know you old. I played with this.
Not Bruce Smith.
I played
against Bruce Smith.
I played with Jake Matthews in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you was old then when he was young. That's all. It's all good, though.
So you played with his father.
Yeah, I played with his father. Yeah,
I played with the father of a dude you played against.
I played with.
You played with.
I know. Vinny was older. He was older.
Vinny was 40 or something.
But Keith Byers was. I like watch Keith Byers in like the 86 Rose Bowl or something like that. No, I know. It's funny, right?
You live long enough,
some
man.
Some of them dudes. It was some old dudes that I, as a kid in high school, they was already in the pros playing. Mm-hmm. And when I got, like Jerry Rice, for instance, right? I was a kid. Got a chance to play against Jerry, see Jerry. Go up against them, comparing who's going to have the better game. It was pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, it's, by the way, and what's the crazy thing is they were all on the 7-on-7 team. That's what's weird about
it. He coached their kids.
Y'all funny. Y'all funny as hell.
No matter who you talk about on this show, he coached them somehow.
I'm trying to think
if
I played against Jackie Slater, or did he already retire? He might have just retired. Jackie Slater may have just retired at the time. Mm. But that's just like Brady. Like, Brady literally is playing with people.
Tom Brady is going to be able to connect people in the one or two steps to, like, the leather helmets, right? He had to overlap with someone who had a crazy long career to get you back to the 1970s.
I got
to
give a shout-out to Eric Thatcher out there in the Bay Area listening to us, man. Friend of mine. He's riding with a friend of mine right now in the car. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, see if Harry give me a shout-out. Hey, appreciate you listening, Eric.
There you go.
My man.
Boy, I heard him with Key and Max on Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max. He made the big time.
Yeah.
He's made the big time.
Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max in the Philly, and Harry Douglas.
And Shemp.
Shemp.
I can't say. I'm so sick of y'all.
Kwame.
Shemp
Kwame
is good.
With the polka dots.
Harry, come on. When you trying to get put on, Shemp is good, man. Shemp is in the crew.
Chicago from Poetic Justice. Show him your brush. Show him your brush. That's how I call him Chicago. Keep walking around here brushing his head after time again.
Waves, you know.
Trying to get it right.
He got them little baby waves up there.
Trying to get it right, man. You know, I'm just working.
Baby waves.
You should have seen me in high school. I had a high top. Swear to God, a high top fade, Harry. It looked like yours, except for, you ever see a white dude with a high top fade?
Yeah, I've seen him with high tops. Yeah. I've seen him with gold chains on and earrings and
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. Vanilla. I just, you know, it looked good. It looked clean.
Oh,
it was
Joe
easy.
Burrow, see?
Joe Burrow. Oh, Burrow. That's my guy. Joe Burrow.
Mink coat chain. Does he have earring?
Probably.
I don't know if he has his piercing.
Best thing about it is when they ask him about it, is that a real chain? He's like, what I'm making, it better be a real chain.
I got to say this quick, though. I wish I would have played with a vet like you, though, Key. Because I already know. Because me and Roddy had this relationship,
though.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're so close. But I could tell you was like a fun dude to be around.
Yeah, as long as you kept me out of trouble. Because y'all would be the ones getting me in trouble.
No.
The young guys.
Slapping you on your hand, Key.
Young dudes.
Come back over here, Key. Key, stop. Don't do
young
that,
dude,
Key.
Young dude.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
Bringing their girlfriends and sisters around and stuff.
Tomorrow.
I know what y'all up to.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.